Good evening. I'd like to welcome everybody to our February 20th regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. And we did hold some training before, so we've already called the roll. And so we are just going to go straight into our Pledge of Allegiance. And tonight I'm excited to say that we are going to have the Naven Champs Group, Champs Team, which stands for Covey Habits and Monarch Pride Students. They're going to be leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance this night. So if we could all stand.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And I was wondering, would you all like to introduce yourselves? Tell us your name.
My name is Harley.
Hello, my name is Megan.
My name is Willie.
Hello,
my name is
Lizzie.
Hi,
Kimmy. All right. Well, thank you so much. All right. We now move on to the adoption of our February 20th agenda, and we do have a we do need to amend that to include a executive session at the end. We didn't have a chance to get on to our executive session for ORC 121.22G number 1 before the meeting, so we will add that at the end of our agenda. So I guess, do I have a motion to accept an amended agenda?
Pleasant.
Mrs. Powers moved and seconded.
Second.
By Mr. Pleasant. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And now we have a couple of presentations this evening. Start out first with Mayor Gore. Diane, did you want to say anything? Did you want to introduce him or? No?
I'm already up.
Okay, he's already up. Come on up.
Madam Chairman, thank you for allowing me to come before you all this evening. As you know, we had we've entered into a friendship agreement with Yori Japan, and we had an opportunity to have a delegation from Yori to come, and the schools played a very big part in our entertaining them. And I just really wanted to come tonight. I've got actually two commendations that I'd like to present on behalf of the city. And the first one, I would I'll get to them in a minute. But I don't know that we could have done this without your all's cooperation and your help. And it meant an awful lot to us to have the school participation we went through. We visited this school. We had the basketball game. We had the performance by the swing choir. We had the dinner in the high school. It was just outstanding. And we're still continuing to plan some type of student exchange. Matter of fact, we actually have a committee that meets on a regular basis. And hopefully sometime next year we'll be sending some kids to Yori, and they'll be sending some here within the next 12 to 18 months. And again, I see that as a city responsibility and a community responsibility, not just a school responsibility. So we want to work with you all on that project. But I guess that these are the good things I get to do, get to write up a proclamation just to thank the schools. And Diane, thank you for your help. And she's on our welcoming committee. And I think you attended the dinner
sure
that we had and a couple of the events there. And, you know, this whole thing is, the basketball team made us feel welcome. The swing choir made us feel welcome. And even the mayor of Yori, after watching the performance, said to the young people, he felt he was in Hollywood the way they performed. So, and they did a great job. But he said something very interesting to them and to all the kids he talked with, that relationships, aren't built in Washington and Tokyo. They're built in Yori and Marysville. And that's why we have a responsibility to continue this, because, as you know, there's been a lot of Japanese investment in our community, and I think some of the, even though there are things that sometimes are considered difficult, we're very fortunate to live in this community. We're very fortunate to have the industry and the working relationships that we have. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to continue to go forward on building those relationships, and the schools play a key role in that. So I want to present this, if you would come up here, please. And Mrs. Lewis, I have one for you, too,
oh, wow.
Please. And I guess a couple of these young people were actually part of the delegation that greeted our folks from Orion entertained them. Because I remember you climbed up a rope or something, didn't you? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He also taught
us
our new decimal system.
Oh, okay. And the tour guide and whatever. So if you'd like to bring the young people up with you, too, to
sure.
see this.
Well, this is Mr. Vitito. Come on up.
I think, actually, Willie aspires to be mayor someday.
I would agree.
Well, unfortunately, you might have to move to another community.
That's right.
Change our form of government, but maybe it'll change back by then. So I'm going to
just
make you.
That's right.
This is Sister Lucy. She's also on the chance team. She just made the chance team this year. This is Willie's second year.
Well, congratulations on that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read this one. It's very similar, but this one just basically says, where it's one of the responsibilities and pleasures as the mayor of the city of Marysville to recognize outstanding service to our community. Navin Elementary participated in the Yuri Mashi Japan delegation visit to the city of Marysville. And whereas Navin Elementary students participated in a contest for the opportunity to showcase their school to the delegation during the visit, and whereas Navin Elementary was selected as the winning school for the contest, and whereas students made reading signs that were placed throughout the school, making the delegation feel welcome upon their arrival, and whereas Navin Elementary staff and students provided the delegation with a guided tour of the school facility and also gave musical performances, and whereas Navin Elementary has gone above and beyond showing the commitment and support of our community, I, John Bohr, Mayor of City of Marysville, on behalf of a grateful community, want to thank Navin Elementary School for your participation in the Yuri Mashi delegation and its sign on the 20th day of February 2014. I'd like
sure.
to display this.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate being partners with you. And I guess while I've got you all, the relationship we have in the COG is outstanding. And the partnership we have with the county, we have with the schools and with the city. We're going to do a lot of great things in the future. And I thank you all for giving me the opportunity to speak.
We certainly thank you, John. I mean, it's Mayor Gore. Yes.
John,
really appreciate it.
That's our future.
They didn't get dressed up for nothing.
That's our
future.
That's
right. That's great.
You me too?
Yeah. Get your.
This way? Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
I'm telling you, John and Gore gets this picture to pay before we're here tonight.
Hey, guys. One, two, three.
Hey, it's me. I'm not intimidated.
Thank you.
Did you hear that, John?
Put that little one
right up there.
Okay.
Thank you all. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, Mayor.
Good luck. Yes, thank you.
Great. All right. Item 6.2, we'll now have a presentation from Navin on Common Core in their building.
Welcome, everybody. First of all, to Navin, it is a pleasure to host you here tonight, and especially welcome to our new board members. We are thrilled to have you here. Tonight, I wanted to talk a little bit about some things you might have heard some of the other schools, too. We're going to focus a little bit differently, so hopefully we can educate everyone about what our wonderful literacy and math coaches do for us here in the district and at Navin. So you have in front of you a folder, it has our Navin's work plans, and also a little summary of the video you're going to see. We are obviously very video oriented, so for some reason, I don't know why, but we're going to do a video again because I think a picture is worth a thousand words. So. When you look at our work plans, there are three areas that we focus on. One is continuous improvement, which is assessment and data that helps us to decide what we need to do to move our students forward and to grow. The other is instruction, of course, incredibly important. And the third is safety and security of the building. And obviously our safety programs at all of our buildings, I think, are doing spectacularly. We have implemented everything, and they're running very well. So we kind of wanted to focus on the other two pieces, which is the continuous improvement and the instructional piece. And even whittle that down further to what our coaches, who's Amy McGlenn, she is our literacy coach. She works here in part-time and at Navin, the Creekview part-time. That's Mr. Ryan, Brian Fairman, our math coach. He also goes to Creekview and to Navin. And so we thought we would show you a little bit of what they do in our building. And we're going to start out by what our kids think they do in our building. And actually, they're actually pretty good. I would say.
There was a one that's too dangle.
No, no, that's cute.
What do Mrs. McGlenn and Mr. Fairman do at Navin?
They help you teach you your numbers and your letters, and they help you do math. They help Mrs. Lewis. Mrs. McGlenn reads with kids, and Mr. Fairman does math with kids.
Mr. Fairman, he teaches math. He used to teach my class, and now everybody in my class, we almost pass every test.
You used to help me with reading, and now I'm helping you with reading.
Help teachers.
The teachers help the students in their classes to help them pass.
What do Mrs. McGlenn and Mr. Fairman do here at Navin?
You go and help in classrooms, use with the children and teachers.
This is a little clip now of Mr. Fairman. He is going to be working in a fourth grade class, actually Willie's class. Willie said, "I am a star here at Navin. Am I in a video?" He is. And they are doing a rich math problem because what our coaches do is, yes, they work with the children, but really they are really working with our teachers, helping them to develop instructional strategies and skills that will really move our kids forward. So I think we'll take a look at this rich math problem. And I want you to notice some of the conversations the kids are having and really the level of engagement during this activity.
If you think about it, A is bigger than B, and B is bigger than C. So C would be 1, B would be 2, and A would be 3. It says that A is larger than B is larger than C, so if A is on the top and C is on the bottom, that means it would be a horizontal number, so that makes it bigger. And then C is the smallest, and A is the largest, so C would also be small, and then it would make that the smallest, and that's all about it.
Okay.
If it's A, it's simple that there are only 3, and A would be 3, or something bigger than B.
So the YouTube one,
oh, I know it is smaller than A, but bigger than C.
So really, you can be like this.
A is greater than B, so it could be like that.
It's more holes than B, less power, and it's muscle size, and it's
Is improper because 3-2 is improper.
Shared writing of the biography that you're going to model to them.
what if you purposefully wrote some sentences incorrect? And like this student, I mean, I will have him reread his writing to me, and he, I mean, can't, when he rereads his own writing, he doesn't see the mistakes. That's my problem too.
Right.
He doesn't see that it doesn't make sense because that's how he thinks, you know? My lost hat.
My lost hat.
Okay. We were going to, I think it's Taylor School, which is one of my words.
Okay.
Taylor School. School practice. We left.
There we go. We got in Dad's car. We got in the
middle school.
We got in the gym. Do you know what I just noticed? Sentence period. I left a hot hat in gym. We got Wendy's.
We got out of school.
We got home. My dad got home.
Completely left out
that
they went back to
the school. You know what's funny though is he totally has good sequence. I mean, mm-hmm. In my head, I'm imagining him.
Well, this was part of the graphic organizer too.
Okay.
That we had used, and you can kind of see how he basically just plugged
right.
it from that.
So, but you know what? That's good. You used your organizer.
Right.
I mean, that's exciting. When I look at this,
and this was me, one that I worked with hand in hand, you know.
I keep thinking about, like, hearing and recording sounds and words, because I bet that if we would compare that assessment to this,
mm-hmm.
we would see lots of similarities.
The last part of the video is, every year at the beginning of the year, grades first through fourth give a developmental spelling assessment, and this year in fourth grade, we took that assessment results and really analyzed it. Ryan actually helped me. We dug really deep to see how we could take it a step further, and this is new in our building for us. And so what we did was created an intervention group. Then I reassessed with the resource that we have to these 17 students. And in this video, I am working with four of the students, and the teacher is eventually taking over doing that in her room, and I'm modeling.
Okay. Today we're going to dig deeper into word study, and we're going to learn about consonant clusters.
Okay.
A consonant cluster is when you have two or three letters that make one sound.
Okay.
For example, everyone say the word bright.
Bright.
What consonant clusters at the beginning?
B-R.
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 Put your fingers on the first three letters. That is a consonant cluster that has three letters. And I was working with your teacher. Do you guys remember that spelling test that you took where you, the teacher says the word, you write the word,
mm-hmm.
and then... Well, I got to see some of those spelling tests, and you guys did a great job. But I noticed on the test that there was some confusion with consonant clusters when you have three at the beginning of a word, and that could be tricky. You just learned this consonant cluster, right?
Sure.
Sometimes when I'm trying to think of other words, I cover up the rest of the word, and I just look at the beginning. So we have scratch, scream.
No, the one that I want to
think of another one?
I cannot.
I want you to try.
13. For what? I didn't know what.
Yes, we do. Scrap.
Oh, I love him.
She's
yeah.
good. Good scrap. Now look here, Aiden.
Strong?
Well, okay.
I'm looking. Scrub?
Scrub's good.
Wait, am I supposed to be saying them too?
Yeah, I'm waiting for you. Scram?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
How do you spell scram?
I don't know.
What's this one?
I don't really know.
Wait, let's do it together.
One
right here. Scram.
Wait, S-C-R-A-M?
Yeah. It's scr and am, and it makes
scram.
Anyway, we just wanted to share how important and that our coaches are and the good work that they do. And I can't emphasize enough the level of expertise and training that they have that really supports me as a principal, but also our teachers, primarily to provide them with modeling and professional development and just going deeper with teacher best practice. And so that helps us with our continuous improvement. It also helps us to even become better with our instructional strategies to meet the needs of every individual student. So if you have any questions, they will answer for you. And if not,
I do. Can you guys talk to me a little bit about how you're using data a little differently this year? We have data meetings, which you come to me, but can you talk to me about some different systems you've put in place and then what you're doing differently as a result of that data?
Sure. We have looked at our instructional practices overall, and one of the things we decided to do, especially I'll look at math first since Mr. Fairman is sitting right here, is we are doing the teachers are giving every student in the class a pretest before they start instructing on a particular strategy or unit. We're getting scores for that, so we know where the kids are. They can do an item analysis on the questions to see if everybody gets a question right. They really don't need to reteach that. That gives them more time to teach those areas that the children may be struggling in. Then they do their instruction, and every day at the end of the lesson, they do a quick check to make sure everybody's on board, because if you wait till the test, you've lost a lot of kids along the way, possibly, and it's almost too late to go back. There's not enough time. So if you intervene as you go along, then you are really trying to catch everybody so that everybody is successful. At the end of the unit, they do a post-test, and they're able to show us growth with their scores. With their assessment information, also helps us to know how we're going to flexibly group kids next time for instruction, because if some kids start to get it, they move to a different area where they might have to do a little more extension or challenge. Some kids need a little bit more practice. We want to give every child where they are in the learning process. So we do that. We study that data. We share that with Diane and Andy when we have our data meetings, and just kind of talk about where every child is. It's helpful for me because I really know every child and where they are, because I'm really looking at their assessment data on a frequent basis. In terms of our reading, we have always done frequent assessments under the Literacy Collaborative Framework. Our teachers do regular assessments throughout the school year that we can compare, but they also do running records when the kids read, so they know every child's individual reading error, and then they can intervene with that, teach that, and hopefully that child will move on to a higher level. It is a pretty effective instructional practice. Other than that, we talk with the teachers about their data as well in the buildings to take it down to them. They're starting to have those conversations now that they're doing pre and post testing, flexible grouping, about their assessment information and how they can work with kids in a different way that might move them along so that everybody's successful. We have a ways to go, but I feel like we've really grown with that, especially this year. We've kind of been working on a little bit as we go along, but it's now more focused, I think, and it's helping us to really hit our targets for our building work plans. So.
In your subgroups of focus would be?
My subgroups of focus would be gifted, special education, and our lowest 20%. And so some of that overlaps with our special education, perhaps, and our lowest 20%. But those are the groups we're really focused on. We're focusing on everybody, but those are the three groups that we really are looking at data, because we want to close those gaps, we want to move those children forward. And it needs to be almost individualized, because every child is different, and every child learns differently. So it's helping, I think the teachers feel it's really helping them to even drill down into the needs of their students. It's helping us as a building to focus on what we do overall in terms of best practice and meeting the Common Core standards, which we have implemented. So,
and I would say, too, in compliment of Lynette and her team, she certainly has one of the more robust plans of data and understanding of exactly where every student in her building is, and definitely is a compliment to you and your team.
Well, I thank you, and yes, my team helps quite a bit. So, anyway, any other questions? We appreciate sharing with you because we're very proud of our students here and our staff, and we think that Maven rocks.
Maven's been tweeted twice tonight, so make sure you check out your Twitter.
I'll start tweeting from Maven instead of my personal account, which would probably be much more interesting.
I did have a quick question, though, and I think, Ryan, are you the one who did you set up the whole data collection model? Or no?
I helped out.
Okay. And is that, since you're at CreekU too, they're buying into that and you're using the same kind of format for them?
There's similarities, but yeah, okay. They're definitely on the same path.
Is it something that can easily be used in every building, or is it? Okay.
Yeah. We kind of helped develop what each principal wanted and how they wanted that to look. And so, because we both work together on them for both buildings, there's lots of
Right. Okay.
And it helps to have their input because I am not an expert in everything, although I like to think I am. So it's nice to be able to turn to these two and say, what do you think about this? Do you think I'm on the right track about this? Amy, this is the problem. What could we do to affect a change? So, and Ryan too. So, I'm sorry, I didn't really do that experiment. No, I have to say she's my favorite.
It's a joke
between them.
Right.
One of them is my favorite every day, depending on who brings me coffee and things.
Gotcha.
I didn't bring you coffee today, but that's okay.
And he is my favorite.
Go for it.
I think you mentioned one of the groups you're targeting is the gifted kids. How's that going?
We hope it's going well. We think it's going well. We see kids making growth. One of the things that is good for all kids, but especially some of our higher students or students that have a gifted ability, are those rich math problems, because they are used to being able to find those answers just like that. And I went in, what day was it? One day this week when you were doing, it was a fraction problem, and they all wanted to grab their paper and pencil and figure it out in 2 seconds. But he made them do this whole thing about a quilt and fractions, and then they used different shaped
pattern box
and colors, and they had to figure it out that way and explain it. And you could see, this one right here, I went up to him and said, how's it going, Billy? And he went, he was so focused. He didn't remember who was talking to him. It was really interesting because they were not frustrated. They were focused and they were challenged, and so that's important. But anything you do is almost like universal design with special education. If you've ever heard of that, they build. Let's say they put a ramp in for somebody with a wheelchair on the corner of a street, but universally it benefits everyone. Because a lady with a baby buggy could use it, a skateboarder, that kind of thing. So it's the same thing when we're challenging our highest groups or our gifted kids. Those challenges are good for every level, even kids that are struggling. Because those are the ones that persevere more. Our highest kids, sometimes they get mad and they want to give up. So we have to keep pushing them to work, and they do. But you'd be surprised the conversations you see. And with some of our other groups, they are just as deep and just as interesting to listen to on how they're working problems out. It's all about thinking independently and problem solving. And so I love to watch it. The teachers, I don't know how they keep their hands off and just walk around and ask questions, because I would want to get in there and really help them. So you can help them a little bit. I've learned not too much. So, and I don't think he helps them at all. He's just tough. But it's the questions you ask. Those open-ended questions that help those kids get back on track and maybe give them that little nudge to get them. And then the satisfaction that they gain is worth its weight in gold. So, so we're trying to hit all groups and benefit all kids with just good instruction overall.
Well, that's it. Great.
Thank you
very much. Yeah. And belatedly, thank you so much for hosting this meeting as well.
Oh, yeah.
We're happy to be here, and the snacks were something else. So. It's cookies, yeah. One of our members was afraid to eat the cookie because it was so pretty. So we won't name names, but okay. Let's see. We're moving on to the superintendent's report.
Right. For the first part of my reports, I'm going to call on Kathy. Kathy will be here every month here on out to give us an update. You'll get an update the first of the month through email, like I had done at the beginning. of February, but then each board meeting, Kathy and Craig is here from Rusilli, and they one will give you the curriculum update, and one will give you the construction update each month from here on out.
I'm going to say mine will be more fun than Craig's, just to start with. It has been a very busy month, you know. It's been very exciting, and some of the things that we've accomplished this month, we've recruited students, and right now, eighth graders are in the middle of scheduling, and as of this evening, we have 4 eighth grade teams, and 2 of the teams have scheduled, and of those teams, we have 70 kids that have enrolled at the new school. So my projection was probably around 150 kids, and so I think we will be right about there with them. We've also had the opportunity to post jobs for the new building and hire teachers that are all internal candidates that work currently in the district. But I am thrilled with the staff members that have, they're sort of the pioneers, the ones that want to come and jump off that unknown ledge with me. And so next year, starting in our inaugural staff, will be Jason Worth, who currently teaches AP Chemistry at the high school, and Jen Hinder, who teaches language arts, Brooke Young, who currently serves as a math teacher at the middle school, and Jody Robertson, who is our 712 language arts curriculum coach, but was prior a social studies teacher, and she will come and teach social studies for us. So that's my inaugural group, and I couldn't have looked throughout the universe to find better teachers, so I'm very excited about that they are excited. We have a design team that's comprised of teachers and administrators from a small group from the high school and the middle school, and led by our partners Edworks, we are working on a portrait of a graduate and the habits of mind, so that we'll have things to say, this is what our school's about. And our next step is to now really dive into the scheduling piece and the curriculum piece. And sort of we've got to wait to see what the needs of the kids are a little bit. But we'll know that in a week. And so then we can start really saying, okay, this is what we need to offer. Personally, I've learned so much about early college and how that works and the different pathways that we're going to offer. That has been amazing, and I can't thank enough Diane or partners at Columbus State. Jeff Spain has gone out of his way to make sure that I understand things, and Sherry Minton and people that we work with that are very supportive of getting this school up and running. And so that's another piece that we're working on now, and it is great, great fun, and it's the most exciting thing that we could be doing right now. So that's sort of a snapshot of what I've been doing this last month. Do you have questions that I could answer? Because I'm better answering questions than just coming up with stuff.
Kathy hasn't only identified her first year teachers, but the following year teachers as well. So they're being trained at the same time as under STEM pedagogy.
True.
And so that creates a benefit. Actually, those teachers can do the same STEM pedagogy in their traditional classroom and practice those strategies before they even come to the early college or the following year.
True.
So.
And that's part of, that reminds me that we are applying to the state for STEM designation. Apparently you can call yourself a STEM school, but if you really want to be a STEM school recognized by the state, there's an application process. And so we have finished that. It's not due until the end of March, but we're getting some letters of support from our partners, and the Ohio STEM Learning Network has been very helpful in getting us organized, and I think a lot of the training in STEM pedagogy with the staff that we've identified will do through the Ohio STEM Learning Network as well. So that's big.
Who provides that training?
We're applying for a $7,500 grant from the Ohio STEM Learning Network, and they've got schools all over the state, like Metro in Columbus or East STEM Academy in Reynoldsburg, and there's Canton Early College, and you can almost pick what you want. Like if you say, I want my teachers trained in problem-based learning, they will say, well, you should go to Canton and spend a day there. And so it's an amazing network of good support that's targeted on certain things. And so I think with the team that I've developed, we're going to sort of determine what our needs really are right now. But a lot of that training will come through the Ohio STEM Learning Network, I think.
as well as Edwards.
And Edwards, too, with the early college piece, they also have resources that are so supportive of what we need.
Is that, like, are there, from everybody who applied for the positions, like, if they didn't get it, are they able to get any of that training? You know, if they're interested in that kind of
stuff? Some of it is, we're going to push out.
Right, okay, yeah.
Certainly in talking to high school staff and middle school staff, there's a, and probably elementary, actually, when I came and talked to Lynette's building this week, there's certainly an interest in, and I always laugh about, I told her staff that a lot of the things are more natural to elementary. You know, when I say we're going to be a mastery learning school, elementaries are like, what? You give kids lots of chances? Of course you do, you know? But I think that that will be something that that will impact going both ways a little bit. And so certainly I think those opportunities. In fact, Marge Edwards, Robin Kanan, is going to do a design program for any interested staff member during our staff development day. So that's a good start on starting those conversations. Greg, can you do that one?
Okay.
You know, my part's terribly exciting. I don't know. Regardless of what Kathy says. My name's Craig Cortez. I'm a senior project manager for Silly Construction. And Diane, Mike, had asked that I stop by tonight, introduce myself. I'll be here on a regular basis, month to month, giving you some rather exciting updates of the renovation project. And yes, they will be more exciting than what Kathy has to say right now. We'll give you some photographs and things to look at, so you, if you don't have a chance to get up, you have a chance to see. And I can tell you up front, for a while, it's going to look like a lot going on. We are very grateful to be a part of this project, and I think you picked the right team, and certainly with the leadership of your staff. It's going to be an exciting 4 months. And just to put things in perspective, for what we have to accomplish and for the time that we have left, we're going to be installing about $400,000 of work a week. Now, that kind of brings it to home just how busy we're all going to be. So it's going to be an exciting time, and we are very excited to be a part of it. And it's going to be a wild ride. It's going to be busy. So right now at this point, as far as where we are, we're wrapping up the design. Here in next week will be getting the first parts of design. We're going to be doing some roofing work on the school. We're going to be doing some demolition. That's going to be a big part of it. So next week, we anticipate to be going out to bid for the first part of it, which are those two packages, roofing and demolition. By the middle of March, the what we call mechanical, electrical, plumbing, that design is a big part, because it's got to go in first before we put in ceilings and paint and all that. We'll be doing some wall construction and replacing walls, and what's called reprogramming, so changing the space from what you've seen to something new, as well as other odds and ends from a building core and a building support services scenario. We'll also have technology going in. So all that's going to go out to bid here in the middle of March. We'll get started right about the beginning of April, and then it'll be followed by our finishes, which will be probably 2 to 3 weeks apart from that going out to bid. So that'll be our casework, our paint, our ceilings, all the niceties that you'll have, that'll be going shortly thereafter. So it's going to be busy. Next month I'll be back, and you won't recognize the way the building, you know, last time, I don't know if when you've been in there, but it'll be remarkably different on the inside. So that's really all I have to report. I hope it was reasonably entertaining and exciting. And this
morning, it's most upbeat I've seen you, so
I'm a lively guy when I need to be. Does the board have any questions as far as the project and as far as the construction?
Is there a layperson schematic that's available for us newbies?
Yes, we have a floor plan. Which what I can do is we can get the design team to forward it to Diane, and then Diane can disseminate to you what it's going to look like. Yeah. Matter of fact, I believe we're going to have a walkthrough, so to speak, on the drawings next week very early. We're going to try to get everyone around, and so from that, that'll lock it in, then we can send you a copy, or you can get them Diane a copy soon forward to you.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Exciting.
I see. See?
Yeah. I know.
Told you.
Okay.
Well,
I'm going to have to ramp it up for next time.
We're going to expect some pictures. He's bringing pictures.
Yeah, I'll bring pictures. Yeah.
Oh, that's not there.
Yes, someone else can ship
right.
Every month.
I'll be a t-shirt.
Yeah, we'll have campaigns and we'll have t-shirts and it'll get kind of crazy now. So, but yeah, next month we'll come. I'll have some pictures to show where we are as far as by that. We'll be tearing the building apart on the inside. So see all the stuff laying around. I said, oh my goodness. What can we do? But it'll all go back together, I promise.
Okay.
I promise.
Great.
So that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Perfect. Thanks. Certainly Kathy and Mike's leadership in this project is phenomenal, and it is a huge project that's taking up a majority of time. So I appreciate their efforts. Certainly we have a great team working on that, and they're doing a fantastic job. One of the things, ways you measure success sometimes is when other people approach you, when you're not always the one going out and saying, hey, don't you want to be our partner? And we had that experience this week. Kathy and I entertained a phone call with AEP, and they are interested in partnering with us as well, looking at the engineering side. So we haven't developed that or anything at this point, but certainly the arrows align in a very similar direction with our manufacturing pathway. So super excited to see how that blends in as well. But great opportunities for apprenticeships and capstone projects for students as well. So that was, one of those opportunities where someone reaches out to you and says, we've heard about the great things you're doing in this new school. Can you tell us more? And how can we help? So it's pretty exciting.
It is great.
Just I'll update you on a couple things since my part's taken a long time. As you know, we've had the opportunity to participate also in the Pathways to Prosperity grant that was funded under the Straight A Fund as well. Today we did receive notice that we will be funded for two of those projects. One of them is a health science project, which helps add 5 different credentialing areas to our current health science programming. It includes EKG, EMT, phlebotomy, all kinds of different coding, medical coding. So it's creating another robust pathway under that health science curriculum for us. That proposal also will fund a learning lab, a virtual learning lab, so that if certain schools in Central Ohio are offering a strand or pathway that we don't offer, students would be able to distance learn into that school and be able to receive the instruction in that way, as well as if some of their students wanted to benefit from our pathway, they would be able to distance learn into our school as well. So very exciting opportunity. And the second one is we've been fully funded to purchase a advanced manufacturing mobile lab, which will benefit all of the school districts that High Point services. It will belong to Marysville, but in essence service all of those. We'll be using that as a intermediate middle school tool to help get kids get excited about the manufacturing trades and opportunities in manufacturing and engineering. So that will be actually on site for us the first year, and then on loan and travel to different school districts the year after. But again, another great blend into the work that we're already doing, an exciting opportunity. In total, it'll be just, I think, with training and all of those type of things, I don't have a final number between the two, but probably around $1 million. That we will be receiving towards those both of those efforts. Let's see. I also wanted to let everyone know that the second newsletter from the district will go out towards the end of this month. So we've been trying to send to every household in Marysville updates. Todd is featured this month as our new treasurer, and it has a nice focus on the new building as well, kind of an update in general for the school district. Calamity Days I wanted to hit on that, which is a hot topic. We were at 9 days, and as you know, we made up a day on President's Day, so we stand at 8. And I'm sure Palando will probably give us an update as well in her part. But we have also utilized 2 of our blizzard bag days as well. So from what I've heard, the weather forecast is looking down after this week. So we will continue to monitor that and pay attention to the final decision and how we can best utilize that as we move forward. Parents have been notified that March 17th, as of right now, we are planning to make up a day on March 17th, and remaining days will be at the end of the school year, pending any new legislation. So we've had the blizzard bags have gone pretty smoothly, thanks to Chris and his team and all the teachers who helped double and triple check, and principals who helped us with that. So all that has gone as well. As certainly nothing replaces being in school, and that's where we want the kids, but it is an alternative to help keep our kids engaged.
I was at Starbucks the last time there was a blizzard, and the high school kids were working very hard. The blizzard bags.
There you go. That's good to hear. Good to hear.
The first day that we were using the blizzard bags, I went online, went to the high school, went to the middle school, went to a couple of elementaries, and just randomly picked classes and subject areas and so forth. And it was a very easy operation, at least from my little bit of knowledge of how to use these things. But it seemed very easy to access and get to the information. And I thought that the examples that I saw from the teachers were all outstanding.
I agree.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm. Great.
That's awesome.
Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. Treasurer's report, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you. Nothing really out of the ordinary to report on the treasurer's action items. I would note that there's an increase in appropriations due to the straight A grant, so just appropriating the remainder of that grant so that we'll be able to expend that. One item I did want to talk about tonight in regards to Board of Revisions property valuation appeals in regards to commercial properties. It was just brought to my attention that we have one commercial property that's actually the new Meijer store that's going to be coming into the district, that we have the opportunity to appeal their property valuation, and that has to be done by March 1st. My intent is to make that appeal, and just to give the board some information on what goes on there. The property had an original value. I believe the original value was somewhere around $980,000. So at this time, we're getting property tax revenue based on that valuation. When a business comes in and buys a property, or even an individual buys a property, we have the right as a board to appeal the valuation if they bought it at a much higher value. Meijer bought the property at $1.87 million. So if we were not to file that appeal, likely the property valuation would stay at around the $800,000-$900,000. By making that appeal, our rationale would be that they bought the property for $1.9 million. That should be what the value it listed on the auditor's books would be. By making that appeal, we stand to gain over close to $17,000 annually in taxes. And another reason why we typically want to make those appeals whenever possible with commercial properties is it lessens the burden of the taxes on our residential taxpayers. Mm-hmm. So just wanted to make you aware my intention is to file that appeal and just to know the rationale behind that.
Okay.
That's all for me.
Okay. Let's see, the Ohio High Point report. I'm happy tonight to be able to introduce our new Ohio High Point representative, Mr. Kevin Decco.
Yes.
Would you like to stand up, Kevin?
I would love to. I have a report, by the way. This is my first official meeting.
Oh, wow. Okay. Right. Well, yeah, that's right.
So by way of introduction, my name is Kevin Decco, and tell you a little bit about me personally. I've been a resident of Marysville for a number of years, raised two children in the school district, and they're graduates of Marysville High School, and Mom and I are very proud that they're gainfully employed. I've been with Honda about actually 30 years, and so I've done a number of things at Honda, the different leadership positions. I have experience in manufacturing. I've spent some time in quality control, spent some time in HRIS. I've spent some time in what's called specification control, which is dealing with our design changes, bill of material, and R&D, new model startup. I have about 15 years experience in human resources. So I'm currently the department head of talent management. And so I have particular interest in when I hear you folks talk about STEM and so forth, I get really excited because it's like it's way overdue. And so we're delighted that Honda's a part of that overall initiative in building that workforce for the future. So I think I can bring some of that insight to this role. I work closely with Scott McLemore. Maybe some of you folks know Scott. He's on the HNAS side. I'm on the HAM side. We collaborate very closely as we think about the future workforce demands and so forth. We need a higher skill set of workers, to be very candid with you. What we hired in 30 years ago, that skill set is different today. The technology is much, much more advanced. The car complexity is much more advanced. So we need a higher skill set of associates, even at the production associate ranks. So I think this STEM stuff really plays in well to that overall need, not only for Honda, but I think just the employer base in general. So I'm here to serve your needs on the High Point. And I guess I'm supposed to give a monthly report or quarterly report or something.
Right. We talked about at the very least we'd like to have a written report.
Okay. Happy
and
to
then quarterly, if you know, or as often as you can be here in person, that's what we would prefer.
Probably but in person would be best.
That's so, what we would love. So
committed to do that and
right.
Appreciate the opportunity. And so I'll see you. Next month, right?
Your next meeting is your first Ohio High Point meeting will be next Wednesday because they meet on the fourth Wednesday of the month, and I know they're very excited. They're very excited to have you there, and I have some contact information for
fantastic.
You here. So yeah, we very much appreciate your willingness to help us out. So
any questions for me?
I think we're all set.
I just want to say thank you very much for your willingness to do this.
You're welcome.
There was a change in state law because previously a member up here would be a member of the High Point Board, but as this fall there was a change in law. And so you have the honor and the distinction of being the first.
Wow. I love being first sometimes.
In reality, as vacancy people from industry and business will be appointed to High Point boards as vacancies occur. So right now, you are first for Marysville and also one of the very few, I would guess.
I think there's only two. I went to their website, and I think there was just one other person. So two new people. So
yeah. So thank
that's
you
right.
very
well,
much.
I appreciate the
right.
opportunity.
Okay.
I think this is exciting.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
Thank you. All right. We can move on to the legislative report.
I had an opportunity to meet with two local representatives, Dorothy Colanda and Dave Burke, and indicated to them that if they would like to stop by at a board meeting, we would love to greet them and give them an opportunity. So I'd like first to introduce Representative Palanda. Dorothy Palanda is with the Ohio House Representatives 86th District. It consists of Union County and a portion, I think about half of Marion County. Dorothy is a Republican from Marysville and a graduate of Marysville High School.
Absolutely, class of 74. And have three children who also graduated from Marysville. So very proud of that. And I'm also very proud and privileged to represent you at the House of Representatives at the State House. You know, I'm also so pleased to be here tonight to not only see but to feel the enthusiasm that we have here in our teachers. And it's just great to be here with you. At the time I met with Dick at Starbucks, I had no idea that Calamity Days would be the hot topic. You know, people say to me all the time, what's the hottest issue in the state? And I said, what day is it today? Because you never know when you go to work what's going to be the issue. But here we are with Calamity Days. And the biggest challenge as a state representative is that I am one of 99 representatives in the state of Ohio. And each one of those districts is as unique as a snowflake. In an effort to understand what was best for my district, I contacted each one of my 7 superintendents in my district and had a conversation with each of them about 3 things. Number one, how many days have they used? Are they using and how many blizzard bags have they used? And what would be their recommendation in terms of how we would address this problem, really on a one-time basis? Because as you all know, next year the law will change and we'll be viewing this as on the basis of hours versus days. And with that, there's some misunderstanding about what that means, but it would be my hope that we would work that out. So straight from the presses, I have brought to you what we voted on and what this bill looks like as of last evening. And what this bill looks like is basically 2 things. One, what the original bill looks like, and then what an amendment was that was added to it. All right, so this is actually what a bill looks like that when we vote on the House floor. And this is the bill itself and a synopsis of the bill, which in essence will give the students 4 days, 4 calamity days. But of those 2 days pursuant to this amendment, 2 of those days will be teacher in-service days. Now, we have not made any further delineation of that. It's up to the schools as to how they want to interpret those in-service days, how they want to do them. The goal, I think, for each of us, regardless of where our schools are, whether they had used 17 days, some of these school districts, whether they had used 6, was to leave it to the local government to decide how best they wanted to do it. And I will tell you that resoundingly, these schools and these teachers would say, we want to be back in school. We want to be there with the students teaching. That was not the issue. The issue was, how could we strike a fair compromise and do what's best when you're looking at schools who have been out of school for 17 days and how to address their different economic needs. So, this is what passed out of the House last evening at 5:30 in the evening. Now, pursuant to the legislative process, this will now go to the Senate. And we have some very smart people over in the Senate who I know will do the right thing. Oftentimes, they will come with some modifications to this bill. And if there are modifications to this, then this will come back to the House where we will vote on those modifications. If we agree on the Senate's modifications, then the bill is finalized and sent on to the governor for his signature. There's an emergency clause in here, I believe, as well. So this means that we don't have to go through the normal process of waiting 90 days for it to be enacted into law. It will be immediate. If the House does not agree with the Senate's modifications, then a process called conference committee occurs. And then certain individuals from the Senate are selected and certain individuals from the House are selected to make a final decision as to what this final piece of legislation will look like. But that's where we are on Calamity Days. And of course, education is one of the top priorities legislatively, and this is just one of many pieces of legislation that we're looking at. In terms of how do we better meet the needs of our teachers and how do we better meet the needs of our children, because each and every one of our children is Ohio's future. And so with that, I would open up the floor to any questions you would have of me about this or any other legislation that we're working on.
Well, I'd just like to say we really appreciate all the hard work that you do.
Thank
and
you.
The fact that you do look to Marysville and to the Marysville School District and communicate with the superintendent and open to communication with board members. We really appreciate that. The process, can we look forward to something being finalized here next week? Or
I'll turn it over to Dave.
You know, when you have an emergency clause, the idea is that it will be dealt with very expeditiously.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one good thing is that, Senator Burke and I try to keep a very open, regular conversation with each other. We try to, because that's so important and so critical to a good relationship that benefits our community and our district. And, you know, I believe that the Senate is basically on the same page. And he can perhaps speak to that. He may not be able to speak to that at this point. But I know that everyone in the General Assembly, both in the House and the Senate, wants to take care of this as soon as possible. We so appreciate what you're doing. There's not a single one of us that doesn't understand that you're trying to do the very best you can for our students. And we are there to help you. Do the best that we can together. So with that, I'm going to turn the floor over
to
Senator Burke, and he can go from there.
And next is Republican Senator Dave Burke for the 26th Ohio Senate District. It includes a long list of counties: Union County, Crawford, Marion, Borough, Sandusky, Seneca, and Wyandotte. Dave grew up in Marion, Ohio, and he operates Dave's Pharmacy here in Marion.
Thank you very much for having me, and thank you all for what you do. People think, well, what's it like being a representative or a senator? And I think, well, the hardest job, school board. so easy to touch and affecting a very emotional issue 24/7. So God bless all of you for being on the school board. I look forward to wrapping up my Senate career and asking the mayor if he'll put me on zoning. I'll go back to zoning, right? Take my experience back to the full network. But again, and our teachers too, thanks for everything you do. You know, having a big district and getting around to different areas really opens your eyes to how lucky you are. And I'll share a story with you briefly today. I was up in Bettsville at Bettsville School. For those who know where Bettsville is located, just north of Tiffin, near the Sandusky County line. And the auditor put them on academic fiscal emergency just a couple days ago. What happened is the treasurer, and we love our school treasurers, be clear, was not sharing information with the board like he should have been. And lo and behold, this December, the school had to borrow nearly $100,000 from the state of Ohio, another $100,000 in January, and they are now going to end their school year nearly $1 million in debt. That's bad enough for Marysville. There's only 160 kids in Bettsville. And they are next door to Old Fort, who is also, in their five-year projection, scheduled to go underwater in 2016. So they said, Senator, can you help us? So, like I always seem to do, maybe this comes back to working out city council with John Gore, bringing people together, finding that common ground, I think we may have the possibility of having two schools merged together for the first time in 20 years. And we think the math works without a tax increase. And they can use the elementary school in Bettsville, and Old Fort will be the high school and preschool. So we think we've got a way, and the constituents agree. So I just bring that story up because when we come home and we think about what great institutions and faculty and kids, and then we think about these little issues like snow days, and I go up to Bettsville, and there's parents wondering, what's going to happen to those kids? I mean, they want to be doctors too, and lawyers, and farmers, and policemen. I mean, they have futures too. So sometimes I think we get caught up in the mechanics of all this stuff. And I thought, you know, whatever this decision is and wherever it comes from, there are kids that need a future. And we are so lucky to be in Marysville where, you know, we've got $12.5 million straight A fund. I have nothing to do with it. That's all you guys. Right? My daughter's now in school here. My son will be here in a couple years when he gets done with Trinity. So trusting you with their future is key. And that's why I stay out of your way, because I'm not an expert. We do our job at home, doing homework with the kids, and I did my 2 days at Blizzard Banks. Thank you very much. helping.
You're welcome.
Getting my algebra skills back gummed up again while Don was at the pharmacy, and I just got home early one day, and I was stuck doing Blizzard Bags. And, oh, my God. When's my wife get home? But it's good stuff, so I applaud you for what you do. You know, we've done some good stuff here as well. Our budget in this community went up by over $2 million in this budget cycle. While our neighbors unfortunately stayed flat, but we adjusted where need was needed. In the previous budget, as well as this budget, I've been able to personally hold TPP, held harmless. Mm-hmm. But that's still a problem. And that problem gets worse because the governor, of course, eliminated TPP for a lot of areas, locked a lot of low-hanging fruit off, but kept it, you know, districts like us alive in TPP. But that means that there's fewer people to talk about TPP. So now I've got less senators and less representatives. People forget what that is. And schools, and God bless our local government, but schools were the only ones under my interpretation of who wrote the bill when I talked down to the author about this, called down and talked, they were supposed to be held harmless, and a special formula was never developed. So here we are trying to figure out what we're going to do. That's an issue I still have to continue to work on, but you know, we continue to hold harmless on that. Calamity days. We just got the bill last night. We actually had to come back into the session to concur on a couple other things when the House finished up. But the Senate just started talking about that. We caucused on it last night a little bit, not knowing what you were going to send us. And we kind of have a few options out there. We've got the bill that the House sent us. Senator Gardner has produced a bill that allows seniors to not have to make up those days after whatever the post-graduation day is. And then we've got just basically do nothing and figure it out at the end. Or combination of all those, which even allow potentially the school board to determine if they take extra days or not, how that looks. So we have a buffet of things on the table. I will tell you in my heart of hearts, when we allow 5 calamity days, we allow 5 additional makeup days to be built into the calendar, we allow another 3 blizzard bags, you know, I really do want my kids in school. I mean, I know that it's tough, but you know, what happens at home is not like what happens here at school. And at the end of the day, I want my kids here. Because you guys are the chefs that make that soup happen. Not me. I mean, I'm just a knucklehead pharmacist legislator. I mean, I'm not a teacher. I don't have that God-given talent. So given the choice, I want them here. So I'll be honest with you. I know it's sometimes a struggle to find those days. But I want my kids back in school. I really do want those days made up. And I don't know how we have to make that happen, you know, what the state has to do to accommodate those needs. But I do know when I see where we're at in academic performance nationally compared to other places, I want my kids with teachers any day. Yeah, a day is a big deal in the life of the student. And I want them back in school. I love you and I trust you that much. Because the blizzard bags, they're great. You know, I enjoyed it too. I learned a lot. but nothing beats being at school. I mean, you're just that good. And we're lucky to have Marysville as a place to send our kids.
We'd like to thank you very much for coming today and really appreciate all the support that both of you have. You know, this board and this community has always put kids first and recognizes and understands the value and importance of education. And so having an opportunity to see you and hear from you is an important part of the ongoing process to make sure that our kids continue to receive all that support, both here locally and in Columbus. So thank you both very much for coming. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
When I get home, the homework's done. Tom is waiting on you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. Did you have anything else, Mr. Smith?
No.
Okay. Then let's see. We move on to public participation, and there wasn't aware of any, but I'll give anyone a chance that wants to stand up and speak. None? All right. And let's see, next item is approval of minutes from the prior meeting. So need a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
And I'll second. So moved by Mrs. Powers, second by Ms. Devine. Can we have a roll call, please?
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes. And now next item is to approve the treasurer CFO action items. Do we have a motion to approve those items?
So moved.
Mr. Smith is moved.
Second.
Second by Mr. Pleasant. By a hair. Do you have any discussion? Anything that you'd like to share with us on this topic?
No, okay. Unless there's any questions.
Okay, no questions. And a roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next item, 11.1, would be the approval of our volunteer mock trial coach. So do we have a motion to approve our volunteer mock trial coach, Mr. Smith?
So moved.
Okay. Second. Motion by Mr. Pleasant and second by Mrs. Powers. Any discussion? I know personally I'm thrilled that he will remain as a volunteer coach. I know that he has no decision-making powers, but he's certainly valued by all the students in that program, and it's an excellent program, and I believe they are competing tomorrow, correct?
Yes.
Right here in Marysville?
Right. We had 7 teams in a district competition, 56 kids, and 3 teams advanced and will compete tomorrow in the county courthouse.
Okay. And what time is that approximately?
The first trial is at 9 o'clock, and the second trial will be at 1.
It's very interesting. If you've never been to a mock trial competition, it's amazing. Thank you. Let's see. We do need to have a roll call.
Yes. Mr. Smith?
Abstain.
Oh, did I put that in the wrong spot? I'm sorry. Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries with Mr. Smith abstaining. And now if we move on to item 12, the superintendent items. We have a variety of different items in there, so we need a motion to approve the superintendent items.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Pleasant.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Go ahead.
I really don't have too much unless there's any questions for me as well on anything that's in there. Certainly, it's pretty standard
right.
Mm-hmm. Issues for us.
Yeah, just the normal volunteers. And
volunteers, HR.
There's a few... oops, I didn't want to go there. Yeah, I just clicked on something I didn't want to go on. Okay.
We had some supplementals this time, just typical.
Right. Okay. So no questions?
No.
All right. Then roll call, please.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Okay, we are now on to the comments and questions from the board members. So starting with you, Mr. Smith.
I thought very, very nice to have both of our elected representatives here, have the mayor here. I thought that shows there's a lot of interaction, a lot of communication. We've got a great representative, High Point, and an exciting presentation. Oh, the light is in the air.
Speaking to you, can you tell? Well, I'm going to ditto everything Mr. Smith said, and it's exciting. It's so exciting to be a part of all of this and to see the whole district growing and to doing the things that are taking place. So I'm just thankful to be a part of it. And thank everybody for doing everything you're doing.
I just wanted to thank you for hosting us, and I really appreciate your presentation and what you're doing with the kids and the teachers every day. Thank you.
I don't have any comments.
Okay, no comments. I always have to have a few comments, right? So I know we spent a lot of time talking about calamity days, but I want to reiterate again what a great job everyone in the district has done dealing with a very inconvenient situation, to say the least. So starting with our technology department and all of the staff working to get those Blizzard bags together, because I agree that I thought it was very easy to use. And I know there's confusion out there, but I think we've done a great job, as good as can be expected, in trying to get that information out there. And I also have enjoyed listening to Mr. Culp in the mornings. Mm-hmm. It's nice to get a call from him first thing.
Just one call.
Just one call, right?
Thank
Thank you,
Diane.
Once.
Yeah, yeah. We won't put that down. And I appreciate our students and parents too working with us and in understanding this new system. Let's see. And thank you very much for your presentation. I enjoy seeing what's going on out there, and the kids really seem to be enjoying it. I love listening to those conversations, and it makes me think about the ones that maybe struggle with some of the, struggle with math or reading, and when everybody's talking, I think you get some people talking that might not have talked before. They might have just sat there and acted like they understood but didn't really understand, and so it's great to see that. I attended the board president's workshop on February 8th and got some great ideas, and I believe we have a couple members that are going to go to Finance 101.
I'm going on February 28th to a training session on school finance.
Right, and I think Mr. Smith is as well. And Mr. Smith's going to be attending the state legislative conference on March 13th, so I appreciate the willingness of everybody to get some additional training, and I think that'll help our district. And thank you, Mr. Decco, for agreeing to represent us, and thank you for all your great work. Do you have any comments?
Again, thanks, Lynette, and thanks to your CHAMS group. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to thank them personally for certainly meeting our guests at the door and welcoming them, and that's always fun to see, and their leadership certainly is noteworthy, as it has been all year. So thanks for doing that. And High Point's fantastic. They're our partner in our STEM project, so I'm sure you will hear a lot from Deb Wortman, who's, I think, going to have a satellite office in our office, who we love, and she's a superstar, and can't thank that group enough for really helping guide us down this path and being our partner. So,
Mr. Johnson?
Nothing to add, thank you.
Okay. Well, now, and I do not really like to end on a sad note, but I was remiss at the beginning of our meeting not to start with a moment of silence, because we did have a loss of a student in our district this morning. I would like everybody to have a moment of silence and have that family in their prayers and thoughts. Thank you. And now, with that, if we can have a motion to adjourn.
Into executive session.
Thank you. We made that amendment. So, yeah, motion to move into executive session.
So moved.
By Mrs. Powers. Second.
Second.
Second by Mr. Pleasant. Roll call, please.
Ms. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant.
Yes.
Mr. Luke.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Ms. Devine.
Yes. Motion carries, and we're in executive session at 8:25. Thank you, Todd.
Corresponding with yours.
Oh.